You may recall a simpler time when, if you needed to get in touch with someone, your choices were limited to perhaps a phone call, maybe a fax, or even going to see them in person. Well, today we're overloaded with various methods of reaching out to others instantly, and frankly, it's a bit stressful for some. On the line to talk about some new research that digs deeper into this phenomenon of messaging fatigue is Jed Mansour from Amaysin. Thanks for coming on Tech Daily, Jed.
No worries. Thanks for having me, Andy.
So, Jed, the headline is that, you know, young Australians are stressed out over modern communications. What exactly does this cover, and what were the findings?
Well, and what it means is that in a time when we think smartphones are going to make life easier for us and help us stay connected sort of whenever and wherever we want, there's kind of a bit of a devil in the detail here. We've got so many options now. Mm. It's kind of a bit tough to choose which way of communicating is appropriate for which people you're communicating with. Like, for instance, you know, do you really want to send your boss a Snapchat? Or, you know, are your parents actually going to even know what FaceTime is, for instance? You know, do you send your mate a text message, or is it something where, you know, a WhatsApp group is better? It's actually even though, you know, your smartphones are meant to be, you know, this great thing that we're all loving and you know, and having our hand 24/7, with it comes a bit of a modern phenomenon of what we're calling mobile messaging fatigue, which, hey, what app do I use to talk to which person?
You just reminded me actually of an episode of The Office, the American series, where they came up with something called Woof, where you sent a message and it went out to every possible medium. Maybe we need something like that.
Yeah, just a blast. Everything just goes everywhere. But depending on the conversations you're having with your mates, especially if they're ones that you might not want your parents to see, they probably could get you in a bit of trouble, I'd say.
Yeah. So mostly we're talking about 18 to 24-year-olds who are getting a bit stressed out by this. What is their top choice for keeping in touch, and what's their least favourite for this group?
Well, funnily enough, the top choice in the 18 to 24-year-old group is still, you find out of the messaging methods, it's Facebook, Facebook Messenger, with SMS coming not far behind. Snapchat is definitely the most popular within that group compared to all other age groups. But a lot of 18 to 24-year-olds are still picking up the phone, not picking up the mobile phone, that is, to have a chat. But on the flip side, about 70% have cut the cord and don't even bother with using a landline. So that, you know, the phone in the kitchen that you used to sit on waiting for your parents to tell you to get off is probably gathering dust now in terms of 18 to 24-year-olds.
Yeah, and you know, with these digital communication tools, the Facebook Messenger, and even with messaging on iPhones and stuff these days, it's not just, of course, which one you use which is stressing these people out, right? I mean, a feature that you find on many is the fact that you can see whether your message has been read or not. And so, of course, you see that if you see that your message has been read, but there hasn't been a reply, that's driving some people nuts, right?
Well, you can't do the old white lie anymore of saying, oh, sorry, I didn't get your message. Because when it's your standard SMS, you can say that. But even when it's an iMessage, you can see, you know, the dots that pop up that see someone starting to reply. Once those dots disappear, it means they've stopped replying. And then, you know, if they pick it up 2 hours later, okay, that wasn't a priority for them in terms of replying. Or if they don't reply at all, then, you know, you're really not on the radar. So, it's a whole different ballgame altogether now. And as someone sending a message or even receiving a message, it's just a whole new world of accountability. Like I said, you can't do the old sorry, I didn't see your message anymore. So there's this whole new layer of stress that started to come into play that we have to deal with.
Jed, you mentioned Snapchat earlier. So, I mean, is there any etiquette about which forms of communication I should use in a formal setting? I mean, should I Snapchat my boss or WhatsApp my boss at work?
Well, you know, I've never actually tried Snapchatting my boss. That's not something I'd recommend. But funnily enough, WhatsApp is one that I've found becoming more commonplace to use in a workplace setting, especially if you've got some colleagues traveling for work. I mean, I've found, for instance, you know, a WhatsApp phone call, you know, when you're in a hotel room, can save you a pretty penny when you're roaming. Or if you're working with some colleagues, say I'm working from home, some others are in the office, and we set up a WhatsApp group for quick messaging back and forth, that can be pretty good as well. So I find WhatsApp's kind of the one that's, sort of, for me anyway, creeping more into mainstream communication. So I think it's sort of, it also depends on your workplace, really. It depends on how sort of tech savvy people are and what they're comfortable using, because it's got to be the person receiving the message as well as sending the message that's comfortable with, you know, with your chosen form of communicating.
Okay, let's talk about the older generation though. Your research seems to indicate that they're not suffering from overload of communication choices.
No, it seems like even though they're, you know, I wouldn't say they're not tech savvy at all, it just seems that 82% 10% of people aged over 55 really don't stress about it. I think it's because younger generations are either digital natives, so they've grown up with this kind of technology, or it's been in their life ever since the technology came about. But if you're aged 55 and over, you're definitely not a digital native. So you're probably taking more a mindset of what I want to say is more important rather than the medium that I use to say it. So there's a bit of wisdom with age here, I think.
Now, you've mentioned, obviously, mobile phones and landline phones. Pay phones also get a mention in the research. Have you seen one lately? Who's using them?
I think I saw one the other day, actually. It's almost like the Tasmanian tiger, really, isn't it? But not many people really are using them. So, you know, it's one of those ones that they're there, but I'm not too sure what they're doing.
Yeah, because I think in your research it indicated that maybe 5% of people had used a payphone at some stage.
Exactly, that's what it is. It's, you know, it's 5% of people that we spoke to, you know, across Australia are actually using a payphone, which shows that they're just because, I mean, you know, like so many people now, I mean, smartphones are ubiquitous, they're the norm. The payphone, really, it's not something that factors in. It's for a very, very small group of people that really need them now.
And I'm pretty sure that they're only still around because Telstra has turned most of them into Wi-Fi hotspots anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's where I saw the last one, actually, because of the new branding on it, which made it, you know, I was like, oh, okay, what's that? You know, and it was about a kilometre from where I live. I'd not noticed it for the last 7 years.
How come Mason has done this research?
Because we sell access to, you know, to what you need to basically message. You know, we sell voice, text and data, and we talk about, you know, making things amazingly simple. That's, you know, that's our tagline. So we always thought, oh, it'd be a bit of fun to actually have a look at and see, is what we're selling making life simple, or, you know, is telco actually sometimes sort of making people scratch their heads a bit more? And we were having a bit of a debate in the office about different types of messaging. I had some people in the office asking me to join a Snapchat group, and I was probably being a bit of a prude, going, oh, you know, we're not really mates on the weekend, I won't join your group, that's fine. So sadly enough, that my tender, what I thought was a tender age, I was falling into one of the older age groups. it was causing workplace stress in terms of how we communicate with each other. So that's where we landed on. Yeah, this could be a bit of a fun campaign here. Let's do a bit of research and see what other people think.
Right, and speaking of fun, Amasim has also put together some light-hearted videos on this this communication topic. Tell me about those.
Yeah, if you head over to our Facebook page or our YouTube channel, you can see a series of videos called Simple As, where it's really like, how can we make life simpler? You know, what are some first world problems you need some answers to? And we've teamed up with two great Aussie comedians, Josh and Paige, who have really just sort of run with it. When we ran the idea past them, they just thought it was great because it was something they encounter in everyday life. So if you jump online, you can check them out and see some first world problems that we've thrown out there to help people solve for us. Everything from you know, how to make friends online to how to score a date to we've got one coming up on voting, which hopefully will be pretty popular given where we're at the moment.
Oh, great. Jed, well, thanks again for coming on Tech Daily to chat about this. And I notice that you're on a phone, but I'm actually using Skype.
Oh, there you go. There's a messaging conundrum in itself.
All right. Thanks again.
No worries. Thanks a lot.